Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hey, everybody. Good to see you. I am not in my usual place. My bride and I are visiting one of our coaches, Mariana, and some friends of ours here in Boca Raton, Florida. I don't know if you guys can... view's not that great. I was going to do it from my hotel, but internet was really iffy, and I was like, oh, I could do it from the beach, but I always get weirded out by bad internet. So hopefully you guys can all see me. We're going to have some fun. Andrew's in the house. Good to have you. All right. Today we are going to talk about something I get a lot of questions on, which is kind of just beating the streets, right? Whether it's cold calling by phone or cold calling kind of in person, that idea of just, I'm going to go out there and just call people and that's how I'm going to grow my business. So today we're talking, does cold calling work for cleaning companies? Hey, Jason Johnson. We were just talking about how faithful this guy is, millionaire mastermind guy, one of the smarter guys I know, and he is avid for learning. So for all of you guys less successful than my friend Jason, and many or most of us are, that desire to learn all the time is something that's going to serve you well. All right, so does cold calling work for cleaning companies? The problem is you want leads, and so many people, I never heard, I don't know, I shouldn't say never, I can't recall anyone ever going, I love cold calling. If that's all I could do every day, all day, my life would be perfect. It's generally some version of, I want more leads, but I don't really like cold calling, but I will do cold calling if I have to, but I don't even know if I should. I don't know if it's a good idea. And Jason says either he's addicted to learning or he has nothing to do in life that's better. It could be both, Jason. Maybe let's just give you both sides of that coin. So today, if you are here because you want more leads and you don't really love cold calling, if we're being honest, but you do love your business, and you're like, hey, if cold calling is what it takes to make that work, then cold calling I shall do. But then you kind of get that backwards of like, well, I've been told maybe cold calling isn't the best thing. You're in the right place. We're going to get to the bottom of all of that today. Feel free on the chat to jump in and let me know what you're thinking and your questions. I feel like the more, one of the fun things about doing this live, and I know a lot of you are watching this recording, and sometimes you get pissed when I interact with the live people. The beauty of the live people is they give questions sometimes I miss. So anyone live that's got a comment or a piece of feedback, let me know. And if I see it, I think it's good for the whole, I'll bring it up. And those of you listening to the recording, feel free to join us live. It is 1 o'clock Eastern, and we're here every Tuesday and Thursday. So feel free to join us live so you can kind of have fun in the party. All right. The trick or the problem is with this whole wanting more leads but not wanting to cold call is if you don't have consistent, scalable, dependable leads that come in, and if you're writing stuff down, this is what you're going to circle, that come in with or without you working, you don't really have a business. I'm going to say that again because it's so important. If you don't have consistent, scalable, dependable lead flow that come in whether you work or not, you don't have a real business. You've got some version of a job. Might be a good job, might be a crappy job. It ain't a business. So we want to make sure that you've got a way to get leads, or really several ways to get leads that do not require you hitting the phones, beating the streets at all. So that kind of goes to the first killer belief that's absolutely going to eat your lunch, which is if I just had time to get out there and cold call and beat the street. Hey, Jess Sullivan, our Australian friend. So excited to see you at our live event coming up in April. Avery's like, looking forward to our call today. I know, we're going to do that next. I can't wait to talk to Avery. She's one of our elite members. So we have this belief, if I just had the time to call, then I would have all the leads I want. Everything would be great in my life. And the reality is that's not the truth because, first of all, people are picking up their phones less and less. I don't know about you guys. You can put in the chat. How many times, if you get a question from a phone that a question, and we're all on our cell phones, right? It's so funny when you fill out forms nowadays and it's like cell phone, direct line, home phone. I'm like, who's a home phone? My cell phone is my direct line. Come on. Tony's in the house. Jessica's in the house. So glad to have you. Harjun is in the house. Good to see all of you guys. I think Harjun likes being called. Amanda Owens, got to talk to her yesterday. One of our alumni in the house. Good to see all of you. I don't know how many of you guys pick up your phone anymore. If it's a number I don't know, it's not saved in my number like under wife or somebody I care about, I don't pick it up. And that's becoming more and more rampant. So that makes cold calling as a kind of overall system not working up, right? And I'll tell you, just so you can kind of know the how this has gone historically. Hey, Andrew, good to have you, buddy. We started with direct mail, right? And direct mail still works, by the way. But what happens is, Tyler says, I spent 7 years in sales, never online cold calling, always received paid leads. Good for you. And then Jennifer Scott James says hello. Oh my gosh, we are getting, this is a topic people want to hear. We get a lot of people jumping in. So we started with direct mail, which worked great and still can work really well. But then the competition got high, right? And it kind of got clogged up. And now a lot of people just stand over their trash throwing away the junk mail. And then we kind of went to telemarketing, which still works. I'm not saying it doesn't. But people stopped picking up the phone, right? We get a lot of voicemail. I don't know what it was 10, 20 years ago, but if you called somebody, there's probably 80, 70% chance they're going to pick up. Now it might be 10, right? So that still works, but it looks different. Then we went to email, right? I remember I was at for those of you guys who know Gary Vaynerchuk, I was at a presentation for him. Great guy, really such a bright marketer. And he was talking about how when he was one of the first people on YouTube, he had this wine channel. And he... It's like back in the day when before marketers screwed it all up, you get an email and you'd be like, ooh, somebody, you know, there's like that, you got mail. And everyone's excited to get mail. And he's like, my open rate was like 100%. I'd email people and they're like, oh my gosh, somebody emailed me. And now it's not that, right? If you're a good marketer, we make it a 20% open rate. So email open rates went from nearly 100% to now down to 10, 20%, depending on how well you know your audience and how interested they are in what you have to say. So not the email's dead, but direct mail, telemarketing, email, they're all kind of evolving to the place that they're not the same opportunity that they were before. Now it's kind of like social media groups, ads, chat, you know, chats, post. You can get a lot more engagement. People, Tyler says, Gary Vaynerchuk helped me find you. I thought I was trying to help people find him. I don't know how that happened, but glad to have you, Tyler. Andrew says, well, cold call is easy to go out and put yourself out there, but much more challenging. We're going to talk about all that. Okay. So just that's kind of the evolution I wanted you guys to get in terms of background on how some of the marketing things have gone, right? And that doesn't mean we have to kill direct mail. Doesn't mean we have to kill telemarketing. Doesn't mean we have to kill email. It just means we have to understand they don't work the way they used to work, right? Even Google AdWords for a while was like, there was a gold rush where you could just put up a Google ad for $2 a click and make tons of money. Well, it's gotten more competitive, right? Now people have kind of moved to Facebook and that's working now, but I shouldn't say guarantee, if I had to put my money down 5, 10 years from now, there'll be another thing, right? So first and foremost, we got to kill that. If I just had time to cold call, I'd get all the leads I want. Absolutely not the case. And then for some of us that are a little more sophisticated, like, I don't want a cold call. That's a pain in the ass. I'll just hire somebody. But I met a guy that, you know, so much of this is going to be me beating up stories. If I met a guy, knew a guy, heard a guy. But if I just could fire and hire a telemarketer, I get all the leads I want, right? So I'm more sophisticated than doing it myself. But I know if I could just, that would solve all my problems. The reality is telemarketing is a hard job, especially to do it right. We're going to talk a little bit at the end about how to do it right. Good telemarketers are very hard to find and they're almost impossible to keep. They're super flaky. They can be fantastic for a week, even maybe a couple months, and then they flame out. Even telemarketing companies where they hire and kind of have call centers, inbound customer service, not so bad. Very light sales, low ticket, easy. That can work out okay. But a real telemarketer just trying to like schedule appointments, it is a son of a gun. It is tough and is not cheap. And even if they start out good, they can get bad. So I'm not saying there's no opportunity there. I just don't want you guys to think it's just this panacea. It's just going to be this perfect thing. Once you get it, your life's going to be great because it's hard to scale and it's hard to be consistent with, especially if you're trying to be hands off. And it can go good and bad, right? It just cycles. So we got to get out of this mindset of like, oh, I knew a guy who built a company. All he did was telemarketing. He's a multimillionaire, right? The reality is, I'm sure that's happened. I'm not saying it didn't. But, you know, I know a guy that won a lottery, right? That's not going to be my strategy to build my business, right? So, and feel free to shout out in the chat if you're like, I knew a guy that went broke with telemarketing, or I know a guy that made millions in telemarketing, because we've all got, I'd love to see which one wins, but there's plenty of stories on both sides. So the reality is any one lead source is too few, right? I like Facebook right now. If that's all you're doing, it's too few. I love this podcast. We built this whole business on what started with a podcast, turned the YouTube channel. Now we're doing the Facebook Lives, and we've got literally millions of downloads on them. But we still do Facebook ads, right? We still do email marketing, all the other stuff that we talk about. So really important, probably the biggest thing, and we're going to talk more about specifically telemarketing, but the biggest lesson I want to give you guys that will never go out of style is you want multiple scalable, repeatable, dependable client attraction sources, not just one. And the problem is when something works, we tend to just rely on it, which is great until it stops working and they all stop working, right? Or they all stop working as well. Like we talked about, direct mail hasn't stopped working. It just, the numbers are very different than they used to be. Same with telemarketing, same with email. Same with Google AdWords and Facebook is now good, but it used to be great. And we'll see what happens in 10 years, right? So the reality is two things. One, you can't just have one lead source. And two, it can't depend on you. Because if it depends on you, only one of two things is going to work. One is that it works, which is great, but then you get all these clients and all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, I've got to get employees and onboarding, do all this. And then you stop doing the thing that got you the clients, hard to scale. Two, it doesn't work, in which case you get burnt out and quit. Ashley Whaley says, hey, from Portland, good to see you, sister. You are absolutely welcome. Okay, so we want to kind of get off the thing of telemarketing is this be all end all answer. If I just got that, I'd be rich. We certainly want to get off any sort of thing that's scalable of you being on the phones, right? And I'm not saying you can never make a cold call, you can never be on the phone, but if that's a main way you're going to have clients, it can't be you all the time, right? That's just not scalable. A, you'll get burnt out, even if you loved it, which I've never met someone that loved it for months. When it starts working, who's going to run your company, right? So it's not a great way to do it. All right, that said, let's talk about, now that we have the foundation that there is no magic pill, and that is, it's not Facebook, it's not telemarketing, it's not anything. Let's talk about how to do telemarketing right, and how to do it wrong, how to be effective and ineffective. So if you are going to do it, you kind of know how to be successful. So first and foremost, you shouldn't do it because that's not scalable, right? Obviously, if you're on the phones, you can't be doing anything else. And even if that's okay with you, which it shouldn't, if you can only be on the phones 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and at some point you're going to have to eat and stuff like that. Tori says, I was a telemarketer before I started my company. Never again. God bless you. I don't blame you in the least. Okay, so the first thing is if you are having telemarketing, it should always be outsourced, not something you do. If you're going to be doing it, it should be a very short time to help train the telemarketers, not because it's something that you want to do consistently. Two, it shouldn't be the only strategy that you're doing, okay? The right answer is always having several strategies. The wrong answer is relying on one strategy, no matter how good or bad. And if I was going to rely on one strategy, telemarketing wouldn't be my top five. It's too risky. It's too volatile. It's too hard to be consistent, and it's not scalable. So I'm not saying I wouldn't have telemarketing in my top five marketing, but if I only had one, that certainly wouldn't be it. First of all, any one marketing strategy is not enough. That one is a really risky deal. All right. So that said, let's talk about the reason telemarketing doesn't work. Assuming you are subbing it out, it's not your only strategy. That's the important part. Now let's talk about how to do it right. First of all, there's only two ways to screw it up. You either call the wrong people, or you say the wrong things in the wrong way. That's really it. Most people miss the wrong people, and this is where paid telemarketers make a big mistake. They will want to because they're like, hey, we get paid by dials, right, in hours. We've got people we pay $15 an hour trying to sell them to you for $30 an hour, so we want lots of hours. So they're not as interested in calling the right people as they are just getting on the phone. But you want to make sure you're only calling the right clients. So no matter how good of a telemarketer you are, if you're calling a less than, hey, we've got Mary from Kenya. Good to see you, sister. If you've got the right people saying the right things on the phone to the wrong people, not going to be effective. So really important, and you might go, well, then I'm going to be, certainly on the commercial side, you might go, I'll be done telemarketing depending on my city size and how tight I am on my niche, and that'll be it. Yep, that's just that I'm not going to go, well, because I want to telemarket and I'm out of the good customers, I'll start calling the bad customers. Hey, Jonathan Mullen, long time no see, buddy. You want to make sure that you're always calling the right customers, regardless of your marketing strategy, right? Facebook's the same thing. Sometimes you do some ads and it's like they get repetitive. You're like, well, that's all I can spend. So we never want to call the right people, no matter how tempting it is or no matter how we feel like we've got to call certain people to scale, right? I'd rather you scale with the right people and have a smaller scale and really be effective than call thousands and thousands of people. So the first step is you got to be on the phone with the right people. If you do it with the wrong people, it's just never going to work. And as frustrating enough as it is, you do it like that and you're really going to kick yourself in the teeth. Okay. The next thing is if you look, and this goes for not just telemarketing, but face-to-face, right? Because so many people, and we're going to kind of cover it a little bit because really what they're talking about when they say telemarketing is just like beating the streets, like personally getting out there and trying to just drum up business. So there's a couple big mistakes that we make online and offline. It's just more obvious offline on telemarketing. One is you sound like a salesperson. As soon as you sound like a salesperson, their only goal in their mind is to get you off of their phone, right? Like, this guy sounds like a salesperson. I know what to do with salespeople. I try to get them off the phone as quickly as possible. It's uncomfortable for you. It's uncomfortable for them. So what you want to do is sound not like a salesperson. The way that you can do that is any sort of pattern interrupt, right? So let me tell you exactly what a salesperson sounds like. And you're going to go, oh my gosh, I could absolutely want to hang up on that guy. I never want to talk to him. Hi, this is Mike. I'm with Mike's Cleaning Service. Can you tell me who's in charge of the cleaning services for your office? Can you just, the way that I said it, what I said, everything about me sounded like a salesperson. And no matter if I've got the cure for cancer, they're going to try to get me off the phone because they've already put me in the category in their mind of a salesperson. So instead of calling and saying, hi, this is Mike Campion. I'm with Mike's Cleaning, Sunshine Cleaning, whatever, carpet cleaning. We would like to know, if you don't mind, who's in charge? May I have a blah, blah, blah. I just sound like a salesperson. That cadence sounds like a salesperson. They're going to get you off the phone or try to get off the phone. Well, not try. They just hang up. They don't have to try very hard. What you want to do is come with a pattern interrupt. I would rather, and people want to sound professional, but the problem is salespeople sound professional. If you sound like a duck and you look like a duck, they think you're a duck. So you want to start with some sort of pattern interrupt. I would rather you almost be rude than, but at least sound different than sound like a salesperson. So anything that's going to elicit curiosity. So if they go, hi, this is, you know, Mike's Auto Dealership or something, and I'm calling them. I wouldn't say, hi, this is Mike with Mike's Cleaning. Can I please talk about blah, blah, blah? I get bored even saying it. You're going to go, hey, what's up? Hey, what's shaking? Hey, what are you wearing? Hey, how much money do you have? Hey, are you waiting on a salesperson to call you and try and talk you out of money? Those are just five or three. I don't know how many I did right off the top of your head, right? You want to make sure that you, anything that's a pattern interrupt, anything they go, this guy's not a salesperson. I don't know what he is, but he's not a salesperson. Or if he is a salesperson, I'm so curious. Andrews is on point. Thank you, brother. We want to make sure that there's some curiosity going. What on God's green earth, right? Maybe you go, hi, this is Mike. How can I help you? And you're calling them. They're immediately going to be confused. I've never had a salesperson call and say, hi, can I help you, right? They're going to go, you called me. What's going on? So as soon as you can do that pattern interrupt and get out of, I'm trying to sell you something. I sound like a salesperson. That's step one. Step two is be real and be honest and get them on your side, right? So 9 times out of 10, depending on who you're calling, the person that you picks up the phone is not the person you want to talk to. But we certainly want them as an ally, right? So the problem is their job is to keep you or people like, or people they, not you, people they perceive as salespeople or people that are salespeople away from whoever their boss is. So the first thing is we do a pattern interrupt. So they don't think you're a salesperson, they'll at least talk to you, right? Second thing we're going to do is find out how we can give them value, right? The problem, and this is for all marketing, right? So many people do that. If I go to half your website, you don't have to put it in the chat. I don't want to shame anybody. Hey, Daisy, good to have you, sister. But if I went to your website, there'd be a lot of call now for a free estimate, right? Your website, they've been here 2 seconds, you've given them no value. They've been there 2 seconds, you're immediately call now for a free estimate, right? And we do the same thing on the phone. We'll walk in and go, hey, who's in charge of cleaning? You just demand like we own the place. The right thing we want to do is a pattern interrupt, and then we also want to find out how we can help them. Hey, whoever person answering the phone is, what's your favorite food? Maybe I could bring some by. Who's in charge of the cleaning services? I promise I don't have nothing to sell. And again, don't say that unless you're going to try and sell them something. I like going in with a perfect prospect survey, asking questions and trying to get understanding about their pain. Or if you are going to sell something, go, I'm going to come in there and try and talk that guy out of a lot of money. But see, at least that's funny. Salespeople don't say that. Tyler says hospital calls them gatekeepers. A lot of people have heard the term gatekeeper. So what we want to do is get the gatekeeper on your side. And my favorite question for that is just to ask, hey, Tyler, hey, Daisy, whatever the gatekeeper's name is. I call 20 people a day and they all told me to piss off. If you were me, and you're some poor bastard, pardon my language, if you're some poor chump trying to sell cleaning services to people like you, what on God's green earth would you do, right? You just be honest with them. A salesperson would never say that. So the cool thing is we can be honest, do a pattern interrupt, look to serve, see how you can give value as opposed to take, and just be transparent with them and don't sound like a salesperson. So, all right, the good news is, and that works face-to-face too, by the way, when you go in, just recognize you're interrupting them. They're trying to run their business. You're trying to get them to do something that you want for you, right? Let's always figure out how to give them value. And even just making them laugh can be value, right? They get 100 people calling, 100 sales, and it's just, it's monotonous trying to turn them away. If you just give them a break in their day and give them a reason to smile, that can be a lot of fun. You can get them on your side. So the good news is, let's go back to what's important and we'll kind of finish up for the day. First and foremost, you never want to depend on any one marketing tool, be it telemarketing, be it a podcast, a Facebook Live, a YouTube channel, anything. One, you got to have several scalable, repeatable, dependable lead sources because things change like we talked about. Once you do, the beautiful thing is, and this is how I sold my first two seven-figure deals, is you can grow your company with 4, 5, 6 dials that you just turn up. Spend a little extra money when you want more leads, turn them down when you want to slow down. And you don't just have one dial, you have four or five. So first of all, as an owner, that is an amazing feeling to be able to turn up, turn down lead sources. Like we just actually had our Facebook ad shut up. We were getting hundreds of leads for those. We had to go more like, oh my gosh, holy heck, let's serve more in the Facebook group. We have a 10,000 person Facebook group. We've got this broadcast, right? So when one dial goes down, you want to have other dials that you can turn up. When you have that, first, it is amazing as an owner, the confidence and fun you can have just by knowing you've got all these lead sources, you just dial them up by money. When another one goes down or when you have more clients, is so encouraging. It gives you so much confidence. And holy crap, when you go to sell it, people will pay for that privilege of being able to dial up and dial down. So that's what we want. Several scalable, repeatable, dependable lead sources. Once you have that, you can dial your company up, dial it down. Not only is your company more valuable to you, it is crazy more valuable to a buyer. If this is scratching where you're itch, if you're like, holy heck, that is what I want. Mike, please help me, show me all this stuff. I'm going to show you exactly how to do what we're teaching you how to do. Well, this isn't me calling you guys. You came here. But as opposed to me going, hey, if this is exciting, call 1-800, you know, give Mike money and give me some money. Right? We're going to give you more free stuff and try and give you more value up front. So by the time we've helped you so much, you're like, holy crap, do I want to give this guy some money? So much better. So the way you do that is go to growmycleaningcompany.com. To the best of my knowledge, there are zero things for sale there. I think we're just about to hit our 500th episode, by the way. So I'm pretty, we got to actually put in the chat. If anyone's got any suggestions on what to do for our 500th episode, let me know. Just about to hit our 500th episode. But what I'd really like you to do where you'll get the most value is right at the beginning, there is a, what's it called? A free complimentary on-demand training that you can download and access. It's the five shifts that you need to do. It's probably the best I've got to get you started at the end of that. There's another free offer to help you take that even the next step in growing. So if you would like to have a systematizable, dependable, repeatable, scalable business that you have confidence in that actually gets the result that you want, Ashley says throw an online party. I might put you in charge of planning that, Ashley. It sounds like a lot of work and I'm very, very lazy. So go to growmycleaningcompany.com. Check out the free on-demand training that we've got. There's another free step at the end of that that'll help you grow. And that's what we do to give back to you guys, Cleaning Nation. Love, love, love having you as an audience. Reach out to us on our Facebook group, growmycleaningcompany.com. Love to hear from you. Love to chat with you. Talk soon. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.